WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull it. Bust over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise.
Yeah. We're living on the edge.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For your weekly dose of wrestling news and other assorted half an hour spiels by Tim, I am Mace. I am really the 13th Doctor because the 12th's already been named. Joining me tonight, unfortunately, is not the Omega because his internet's going through a regeneration, but I do have the first female Doctor, hopefully, Lindsay Ward.
I was going to say, am I the first female doctor, or am I Sarah Jane?
No, you'd be the first female doctor.
Sweet!
And of course, making his return to the program just in time, because, you know, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, the grandfather of the very first doctor, Mr. Tim Stein.
You're an asshole, you geeky bastard. Okay, whoever had asshole and bastard, bingo.
No, it's Yahtzee.
Oh, now we switch games. You fucking... Jesus Christ. Just as I get the game down, you change it. Stop that.
Exactly. That's how we play.
You're
an asshole. As Roddy Piper used to say, when you think you know the answers, I change the question.
Damn right.
Well, you're no Roddy Piper, so fuck you.
Oh, damn, wait, there's another one! Yahtzee!
I'm going to win the game tonight. Fuck you guys.
So wait, does that mean Tim's in the lead?
Goddamn straight for a change. No, I wind up in the lead a lot, only to like wind up never getting another question picked when I hit like 6 or 7 out of 10. It sucks. Everybody catches up and then wins.
So basically, you're now Matthew Forsena.
And I was like, there you go. Is that what happened to Forsena last night?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Who had 9 months in the carpool?
I don't know who had 9 months, but, well, we've started a new pool anyway.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, it's a 1997 Saturn, forest green. It's only got 257,000 kilometers. That's 180-some-odd thousand miles for you Americans who don't understand shit.
That's no, a lot of miles on a car, Tim.
Yeah, but it's a 97.
It's
that's a lot of years for the mileage.
It's 2013, though.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not all that much for, you know, from 97 to 13.
It's still a lot.
Yeah, we already have 5 months to take in. So.
16 years.
16 years. Only 16 years.
Yeah, it's almost like it's older than you, right?
Yeah, it is older than me, and, well, it's many, you know, anyway.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. Jackass.
Hey, I'm not the one saying shit in the chat room, by the way.
By the way, yeah. I'm calling my shot 7 months.
7 months for this one, huh? Who had 9 months?
I don't remember who had 9 months, but she also
somebody
guessed,
has 9 months.
She already guessed your color of the car.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? So I lied and said it was red or purple or something.
Black.
Just
is
so, black, that's it. Just so she wouldn't be like completely bang on and think that she was Little Miss something and everything else like that.
But she was, because she nailed everything correctly.
Yeah, I know! Thank you!
Including price.
How much did I pay for it, Lindsay?
$500.
How'd you figure I paid $500 for it? I want to know your reasoning. How'd you figure out it was a green Saturn for $500?
Because I know you're a cheap bastard.
Okay, so we got the $500 nailed down. How did you guess green Saturn?
It's a 1997. There weren't a lot of color choices, and so it was either black or forest green or red.
Or, no, they had sort of like a champagne grayish type color, too.
Yeah, but you don't see as many of those around. Usually the more common colors were black, forest green, or red. So, and I figured you probably would have gone for forest green.
Well, why didn't you figure I would have gone for red?
Well, you have a red car and it died on you, so, you know, it's just not good luck.
I'm sure that it wasn't the color that killed it. It was the fact that the transmission was going.
Well, and it was a POS, but beside the point.
Well, aside from the transmission, it wasn't a POS. It was a nice car. All I have to do is, you know, get a replacement transmission, and it's perfectly fine again.
Yeah, you know how expensive those are?
Listen, for a 1991 Toyota Celica GTS installed, a rebuilt transmission is only $1,800.
Only
$1,800.
Yeah, so
Tim,
when you stop and when you
costs more than the goddamn car.
This is what I was about to say. When you stop and you figure that the transmission repair would be more than twice as much as what I paid for the car, I'll just sell the car to some schmuck who doesn't really get it, and you know, he winds up paying me money, so that nets out my Saturn at $300. I learned how to clip coupons from talking with Rock all these years.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with
coupons. You're cheaper than I am.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with couponing.
Yeah,
just ask the extreme couponers.
Yeah, and you would know because you watch that show religiously. I mean, you and Extreme Couponers is like me and Star Trek.
Hey, Extreme Coupons is a great show.
Oh, my God. I saw 30 seconds of it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Ask Mace. He watched it once.
Mace, did you watch it?
It is a very scary and weird show.
It's 100% American, right? What do you expect? The only reality show I really pay any attention to is American Restoration. And Kitchen Nightmares.
So that's two, not just one.
Well, the only two that I watch.
That you know of.
I don't watch any other shows, really.
Okay.
You know, Walking Dead's not reality TV. If it was, it'd be kind of some kind of different interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it kind of would.
Yeah. So, anyway, they're not here to listen to us go back and forth about a bunch of crap. I'm sure that those few who have tuned in because they got nothing better to do on a Sunday night want us to talk wrestling.
Hey, that's gimmick infringement.
What are you talking about?
Gimmick infringement.
Who's gimmick?
My gimmick, Saturdays. Your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. Gimmick.
I didn't say anything about their only excuse. I said nothing better to do.
Still,
that's not gimmick infringement.
Gimmick infringement.
Okay, Jeff, thanks.
Fuck you.
I've been waiting four goddamn years to pull that on you.
Anyway, is there a
Okay. Okay, T to the I, double M Y, Timmy Stein.
Yeah, okay, well, now three people after you did that one. So, yeah, so you want to talk wrestling, let's talk wrestling. Wrestling happened this week. We had Raw and we had SmackDown. TNA put something out on a Thursday. They call that wrestling.
What do you call it?
His son's new favorite show.
It's not his favorite show. He watches it.
Close enough.
Yes, yes, yes. I will admit it. My son Owen watches TNA wrestling.
Dude, then he should totally tune into The Rack Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, to hear our full Impact recap.
I don't think so. For a couple of different reasons, but we're not even going to go there. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan getting a corporate makeover.
Let's. What do you think?
Is he going to lose the beard?
Well, there's a thing on WWE.com where you can actually shave his beard.
And he looks just as, like, goofy as before? Can't call him Goldface without the beard.
He looks really weird without the beard.
Well, that's because you're used to the beard.
Well, that's true.
So, I didn't really get to watch Monday Night Raw. So, you know.
They announced he's going to get a corporate makeover. So, what do you think that entails? Do we see him in a suit? Do we see him, you know, clean shaven, short hair, bow tie, no bow tie? What do you expect?
You remember the corporate ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that.
So wait, he's going to come out in a long black robe and start sacrificing people?
I just said I don't think it was going to be that.
Could it be like Austin and Vince McMahon when McMahon tried to get Austin in the suit?
Yeah, thanks for walking all over me when I was trying to bring that up. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that either.
Then what do you think?
I don't have a clue.
What about you, Mace?
Daniel Bryan, they might clean up the beard a bit.
Okay, so
that's pretty much all I figure is they're just going to clean up the beard a bit, make him clean the hair up a bit. It's not like one of these things where they're going to, you know, shave the beard off, because I believe doesn't he still have a bet going with somebody?
No, the guy already quit the bet. He already shaved.
Oh, okay. I don't know, it's just, I don't think that they're going to shave the beard off. If they do, it's just going to be very, very weird. Because you get so used to seeing him with the big bushy beard, and then all of a sudden, no beard.
So what color is the suit going to be? Black, blue, or gray?
Gray.
I picture a gray suit myself. Lindsay, what about you?
I don't know. I can picture like a black suit. Maybe dark blue. It's kind of hard to difficult. Or should I say, it's kind of hard to pinpoint.
Kind of hard to difficult.
Yeah, kind of hard to difficult to pinpoint.
That sounds like such a Southern saying.
Yeah. Well, gee, I'm Southern, so it works. And yeah, I'm also sitting here watching Total Divas, so I'm a little distracted.
Okay. Is there something about you we don't know?
What?
And that we're, like, you know, like, assume and speculate and suspect and stuff?
What are you implying?
Not implying anything. I was actually asking. That's all.
Well, what are you asking?
Well, would you and I have something in common? An interest in women?
Not these women, but yes.
Did we just get Lindsay to admit she's bi-curious at the very least?
Wow, breaking news. That's never been said ever on anything. And in other news, the sky is blue, and Tim Stein is cheap.
The clouds are gray, and it's raining. I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to see Daniel Bryan in a Bob Backlund-style bow tie with suspenders.
Oh, God. Why don't you just go all out and do suspenders and a belt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see it all.
You're chewing ice cubes, aren't you, Rock?
No, I'm not.
You're about to chew the ice cubes, aren't you? Since you're drinking your water.
I was drinking water with ice cubes, yes.
You're going to chew the ice cubes when the water's gone, aren't you?
If it's still there, probably. Anyway, continue, Tim, talking wrestling. Come on.
There's a saying about people who chew ice cubes. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. What happened on Monday Night Raw that you should react to?
Just move to the next question, Tim. since you clearly didn't watch the show, move just to the next question.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to watch Monday Night Raw. So apparently the Best versus the Beast, the Bat, and the match has been made official. Now, in case that you live in Edmonton or have been hiding under a rock, of course, talking about CM Punk taking on Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
You do that, Rock. You try it.
Brock Lesnar.
Lindsay, you try it now.
No.
Come on, you can do it.
Brock Lesnar.
Bork?
Bork.
Bork, bork, the bork, bork, bork. I'm not even going to ask Miss. He won't try it. He doesn't do anything.
No, I wouldn't do it because, you know, lost my voice last week. Don't want to try and rip it up this week.
What happened last week you lost your voice?
I had a cold that turned into a chest infection and, yeah, I lost my voice for a couple of days.
Well, I was about to say, who the hell were you yelling at all day? And why?
My little brother, because he wouldn't clean up his shit.
Oh, wow. None of my elder siblings was ever responsible for making me clean up my stuff.
You okay? I'm just going to go on record and interrupt. Cena's got a nice house. Anyway, continue.
Okay.
Thank you, Total Divas.
Thank you, Total Divas.
The things you learn while watching which one of the Bella Twins is bopping which one of the wrestlers. This week.
So, Tim, it's the Best versus the Beast at SummerSlam. Do you think this match needs any sort of stipulation?
The first match between them? No. This is not going to be a one-off. It's going to be a series of matches, and of course it's going to go back and forth. Brock will win the first one. CM Punk will come and win the second one. Then there'll be the rubber match, will be the blow-off match. The second and third matches is when you throw in the stipulations. You never throw in a stipulation on the first match. Or at least you shouldn't. You shouldn't have to.
Mace, what do you think?
About what? Yeah, this is the we're not paying attention edition of WTR this week.
Lindsay, what do you expect? Do you expect any sort of stipulation attached to the Best versus the Beast?
Not necessarily for this first go round. I honestly expect something to happen in this first go round that warrants a stipulation in the next one. But I don't anticipate anything coming down. I think that would honestly hurt the match. I would like to see them put Brock into a situation where there is not a stip in place and he has to work just a legit match and see if he can work just a straight up match with Punk.
Now, Mays, what do you think?
Doesn't need to be a stipulation, but they'll throw one on anyway. It'll probably be no DQ.
All right, not even talking match gimmick match stipulation. Maybe something in to do with Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman on a pole match.
No, they might go the route of I get 5 minutes to beat the crap out of Paul Heyman, which you know will only have somebody come in and save Paul before it even happens, or he'll run off like a little bitch. So there's no point in doing it at this point.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They could do Paul Heyman in a cage match.
I could do that. With Paul it would not, they wouldn't do that.
Look, they've done this three times already, to my recollection, and probably even more often. Leave it for the third match. That's your stipulation. If Punk wins, he gets 5 minutes alone with Paul Heyman in the ring.
You say three matches. How far apart are these matches?
Well, SummerSlam's coming up. After SummerSlam, you've got some kind of a September thing going on.
Night of Champions.
Which is called Night of Champions. I don't see Night of Champions having anything to do with furthering this feud. So you skip Night of Champions and you go right to your October pay-per-view.
You have two of them. You have Battleground and Hell in a Cell.
Okay, so there's the question. Do you, that becomes, do you put match 2 and 3 on back-to-back pay-per-views in October? I wouldn't do that. But then again, I don't believe in rushing a storyline.
I don't see them going that soon. Honestly, I see them maybe making it to like Survivor Series where they do the next match, or even going as far as Rumble and then on to Mania. Because you're not going to burn a Brock Lesnar appearance on a throwaway pay-per-view like Battleground or Hell in a Cell. I really see them doing something with Brock potentially at Survivor Series and then possibly Rumble or Mania. More Mania than anything else. Like, you put enough distance in between the matches to where you don't overexpose him.
Well, to take a look at that, when is Lesnar signed till? Or is he signed to a certain number of matches, or is he signed to a certain length of time?
I think he's under like a 2-year deal, or it's either a year or a 2-year deal, where they're not set on matches, or they're not set on a number of appearances, but he only wants to work certain periods of time. He doesn't want to travel full time. He doesn't want to do house shows. He doesn't want to do any of that. It's basically he's kind of brought in on a sort of special performer type basis where I think they've worked it out in advance with him as far as when they want him to appear. And he's almost got like a UFC type schedule where he only shows up every couple months and he works a handful of dates and then he goes back off the road again.
Mm-hmm. Part-time employee.
Yeah. And he's making a lot of money to be a part-time employee.
Yeah. It'd be nice to make some kind of money like that, wouldn't it?
That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't be too upset. But then again, you know, you stop and think about it, you gotta get into a ring and wrestle, so that, you know, that's Mace's territory, not mine. Anyway, moving on. Apparently Christian, as of Friday night, gets one more match for the world title. Is this a good idea or what?
Yes and no. Go ahead, Mace.
I just feel very indifferent about it. It's like, yay, he comes back. Now he's number one contender. Yay.
So you don't really care one way or the other, or it's just, you know, it's Christian,
no, it just,
whatever.
Just doesn't, I don't know, it's like, okay, yeah. Not exactly gonna get hyped for it. Christian versus Del Rio, it doesn't even sound like it should be selling tickets.
I'll
be honest, I put that more on Del Rio than Christian.
Well, I have to agree with you. I mean, what if it was Christian versus RVD for a vacant title? Would that be more of a pay-per-view sale?
Not really.
Not really. It's more like you'd see that maybe being a third-hour match on Raw.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like, especially anything to do with the World Heavyweight title, just doesn't sound like it should be on a pay-per-view.
And
the belt just does not seem important anymore, and it doesn't matter what matchup you're going to put with that title, it just doesn't feel like it's worth it.
Well, the world title was brought in by WWE because of the brand split. They've pretty much, for all intents and purposes, killed the brand split totally 3.5 years ago.
But right? But officially it's been killed, I don't know, 6 months ago, when they've just now called the touring groups WWE Live.
Yeah, so at this point in time, would it not make sense to unify the championship and just, like, have one main belt for the roster to fight, or do we need the World Heavyweight Championship?
You need the world title because you still have two touring groups.
Mm-hmm.
So as a promoter, Tim, wouldn't you want to sell a world title match if you're promoting a show?
Well, here's the thing. You know, they had two touring groups before they had the world title. They only had one title, which was the WWE Championship. They were successful enough with the one title. They would use the you know, the other touring troupe to highlight their, you know, lower ranked titles, especially the Intercontinental Championship. You know, back when it meant almost as much as the WWE title.
But at this point, it doesn't.
No, but there's you can always bring it back. You can, you know, everything old is new again. What goes around comes around. Right? You can bring back prestige and importance to the Intercontinental Championship, drop the heavyweight title, you know, like combine it, unify the championship, and call the holder of the title the unified WWE champion. And then you focus on your Intercontinental title, your U.S. title. I don't think you need the U.S. title either, with no real official brand split, but that's just me. You can focus on, you know, like make the tag team relevant. Everybody's pissed off that, you know, they're treating tag teams like throwaways. Let's face it, they've done that for a couple of decades now. And for whatever reason, they just don't really seem to care that much about tag teams.
That was the plan, but if you look lately, that's changed. With the Shield, the Wyatts, the Usos now heavily involved, Team Hell No for the last year.
Yeah, you know, I look at the Shield. The Shield is not a tag team. It's three guys. It's a faction, okay? And two of the three guys have the tag team titles. The third guy's got the U.S. title. It's, you know, it's a faction.
It's a faction, but they're still wrestling tag matches.
They still wrestle tag matches, yes.
But you don't see the only one you see.
It's not a tag division highlight. No, you know, if you want to say that it is, you and I are going to have to agree to disagree. I don't know. I want Mace's opinion on that. Yeah, somebody who's been in the ring and around the business the way
I completely ignored whatever the fuck you were saying, Tim.
Gee, thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm sorry. I'm dealing with other shit right now.
Okay. Well, let me know when you're not dealing with it anymore. We'll come back to you. Lindsay, your turn.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Tag teams, has there been, you know, Tim says there hasn't, tag teams don't matter right now. What do you say?
Okay,
yes,
I'm going to clarify, Lindsay. I didn't say they don't matter. I'm saying that WWE isn't treating the tag division properly. Rock's argument is that is changing because they've got, you know, like the Shield and the Wyatts, you know, and, okay, so Jimmy and Jey Uso, they're a tag team. How long is that going to happen before they try to split those two up, right? My contention is the Shield is a faction, not a tag team. The Wyatts, you know, they're another faction, not a tag team. Sure, they've, you know, the Shield's got the tag team titles, but...
Well, okay, to be fair on the Wyatts, we don't necessarily know what they are yet. I mean, for you could argue... Because Bray Wyatt has not officially wrestled yet,
uh-huh.
That the Wyatts are a tag team managed by Bray Wyatt. The Shield, I would agree, aren't necessarily a full-fledged tag team as they are a full-fledged faction, but Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins on their own are a tag team. And Rock is right. The WWE is taking an interest in their tag division again. They're building the Usos. They've built the Shield. They're building the Wyatts. They're making that shift to build that division back up again. And I think we're going to see more of that as time progresses. I don't think it's going to all happen right away. But I think slowly we will see that division begin to be rebuilt. Just like we're seeing the women's division rebuilt as well.
Yeah, I can't help but be pessimistic, and that's just because based on past history and WWE's track record, every time it seems like they're going to show more interest in building up their tag division and making it, you know, like a showcase, like a lot of people want, like that used to be. Then all of a sudden, next thing you know, boom, they stop focusing on it and go on to other things, and the tag division becomes a throwaway yet one more time. You know?
And I can agree with that, but I think the difference here is this is potentially one of Triple H's pet projects.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it is, then it's a case of when it happens, I'll be happy.
you know, I think he's more focusing on, you've got Vince distracted with the big stars, and I think you've got kind of, you're seeing Hunter's influence in NXT, you're seeing Hunter's influence maybe a little bit on the undercard, where he's knowing, he knows that it's like, you need to build these divisions up, and I don't think that tag team wrestling will ever be the showcase that it was in the 80s and 90s. I think that's something that's come and gone, and we will probably never see it again, just because true tag team wrestling is really an art, a lost art. You don't see tag teams that have been together, you know, 10, 15, 20 years anymore. You're lucky if you see a tag team that's been together one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, unless you have two guys, like take Hell No, for instance, two guys that are slapped together, but you've got at least one guy in Kane that knows about tag team wrestling, that understands how it works and knows how to make it work. And I have little doubt Dane O'Brien knows how to make it work as well.
Well, there's a slight different psychology with tag team matches and tag teams than there is with singles. And like you're saying, you know, it's a lost art. You look around at the indie circuit where all of these people originate from, and a great vast majority of these indie shows will do exactly what WWE was doing. They'll throw two guys together to wrestle another two guys just to fill up their card for that night.
Right.
And you don't have that, you know, like the, you know, the British Bulldogs and Stampede Wrestling making a transition to WWF. You don't have, you know, the Rockers transitioning from AWA to WWF, you know?
Is it because people don't see the value in being a tag team and they figure their only way to get success is to be on their own?
Well, when you look at what they eventually did with, you know, the Hart Foundation and the Rockers, right? What happened? They split up the Hart Foundation, and what happened?
Bret became WWF champion.
All right, they split up the Rockers. What happened?
Shawn Michaels put him through a glass window and became Intercontinental Champion.
And then, from there, what happened?
He became the boyhood dream, winning the WWF title at WrestleMania 12.
Yada, 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 so on and so on. What happened to the other guys, you know, in each team?
They sunk.
Mid-card and then gone. Basically,
disappeared into obscurity.
Thank you. That's the word I was about to use, Mace. So, yeah. Now, is it a case of, you know, like somebody like Vince McMahon? Yeah, oh, Rock, that was bad.
High five, Rock.
you deserve the fist bump, but that was bad. And I don't mean bad as in not good. I mean, that was just wrong.
That's why I typed it. Anyway, continue.
Anyway. He kind of sort of made me lose my train of thought. Was it these guys wanting to break away and be their own thing? Or was this, in this case, Vince McMahon seeing potential and saying, let's see what you guys can do away from each other?
I think it's probably more of an oversaturation. You take a look at the 1980s compared to even the 90s. You know, the 1980s was the era of tag teams. For every singles wrestler, you had three tag teams.
Uh-huh.
You know, and to the point of where you oversaturate the market, it takes a lot of time to have to break it down, rebuild it to the point where it's viable again, mm-hmm. before people start getting sick of it. Because believe me, watching wrestling in the 80s, man, I got so sick of tag matches. Every time they came on, I really just decided to fuck off for 20 minutes. But the problem here is that because of that oversaturation, and then they decided to break it down, they got rid of the guys who could help build it back up. That's the bigger issue, is that there's no one there who really can teach tag team wrestling proper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, you want to get somebody in there to help revitalize tag team wrestling, at least in a developmental standpoint, get Roadblower Animal. Animal's still out there. He can still sort of bump.
Sort of, kind
of? One of the best tag team technicians.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have him go into developmental and say, all right, we're going to start developing tag teams from developmental, like they've done with the Shield and like they've done with the Wyatts.
Yeah.
And do it that way, because, and this is the unfortunate thing. Like we saw with the Shield, and Lindsay pointed this out the other day, and I really actually agreed with her after I sat back and thought about it. Now the Shield have belts, they've just become like another team, another tag team.
Mm-hmm.
WWE can do amazing debuts, but the second they start putting these guys into actual, you know, wrestling matches and try and get them in contention for title belts and stuff like that, they lose the mystique. They lose all the momentum that they had from the debut.
Nobody knows
how to keep tag team going on the writing side.
I was about to ask, is that a failure on the writer's part, or is it that just an overall general failing over the fact that they're being, you know, they're hunkering down and chasing the belts?
Well, it's the writing in one way, because they seem to not really find a way to keep the tag team exciting during the time. It's like, all of a sudden, yeah, you're now after the tag team titles. That's your story. No. How about give them something to get involved in while they're chasing the titles? The titles shouldn't be the be-all, end-all, especially in tag team, because then you've got nowhere to go but to break up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much time did we spend after Hell No on the tag belt saying, all right, where's the countdown clock for the breakup? Because up until a team gets the tag team titles, everybody's excited. Everybody loves them. They get storylines and everything. The second they get the belts, you basically sit there and go, okay, when's the breakup coming?
Yeah. You pretty much have a point, but that's because we as viewers are programmed to expect that, wouldn't you say?
In a way, yes, but that's only because it goes back to the writing. Mm. They can't keep, like, once they get a team to the pinnacle of the top, what do we do with them? I don't know. Why not actually try and think of something?
Instead of having them ultimately feud one way or the other.
Yeah.
Which in some cases turns out really nicely, but in other cases kind of sort of fails spectacularly.
Not everybody can recapture the magic of Michaels turning on Jannetty.
Well, this is true, no matter how hard you try. Rocky, you were going to interject something at one point there?
Forget about it. The point was made. So continue.
The point was made. There you go. Okay. Well, there you have it. Would you consider basically, like if they're reviving this tag team division, would you consider it almost like a reboot like they're doing with movie franchises where they, go back to the beginning yet one more time and restart and make it all popular and stuff like that so they can oversaturate it?
I wouldn't exactly call it a reboot, but more of a slow-managed crawl.
Okay.
Because think about it, even now, how many tag teams do we really have on the main roster? Like, 4, 5?
Like, legit full-time actual tag teams, yeah.
Not two guys thrown together for the hell of it. I'm talking, like, actual tag teams.
Let's see, you got the Usos, the Shield, Tons of Funk.
Tons of Funk, the Wyatts.
The Wyatts. Primo and Epico.
4.
It's 5.
No, we're on 5.
We're on 5.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be more, isn't there?
Yeah, see?
Yeah, name another two.
Like 5 and then the and ah start. It's like, no, they're not there. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, they broke those guys up. Wait a minute, okay, there was a feud there. Oh, what about no, they're about to fight each other the next pay-per-view. Yeah.
We the People, Cesaro and Swagger.
Well,
you call them a tag team.
No.
They get put under the category of thrown together because they have nothing else to do.
I don't know.
I got to agree with Mace on that one.
I would disagree. Oh, we're forgetting one.
The only reason Cesaro is there is because they needed somebody to put in there when Swagger wasn't able to show up for a little while because of his injuries.
Right. And the other team we're forgetting is the Primetime Players.
Easy to forget. Very easy to forget. And the three-man
and
band.
The three-man band, yes.
Yeah.
So that's seven. That's enough.
But how many of those would you call serious contenders in the division?
Three.
One.
Three sets are serious contenders. The rest are throw-togethers. Because there's nothing else. What would you do with three-man band if they weren't all three put together?
Release them.
You know? What Mace said.
Well, I've been kind of thinking about this, and it's probably stupid, but since you really don't have enough room on Monday Night Raw to have all these tag teams, is it something that maybe you could move the titles, like the U.S. title, the tag team titles, the Intercontinental title, and put more emphasis on those titles on SmackDown and try to build those titles back up using SmackDown and some exposure on Raw, but really sort of help provide basically have all the qualifying matches and those kinds of things on SmackDown, and then bring those teams that are moving up in the division to Raw and have them work with the champions on Raw.
It'd be something good, because then it actually brings some attention to SmackDown, which they sorely need. But again, we're getting to the same issue that was the reason why the brand split happened in the first place, was because, you know, if you having the shuffle around titles and everything to get airtime, then again, it's not so much the titles themselves, it's the writing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WWE has what, 12, 13, 15 hours of programming each week? And yet you're still having tag team matches, tag title, US title, IC title, and all that is not getting airtime. That screams a major issue that doesn't just belong to just reshuffle the titles. They need to learn how to refocus the entire product.
Well, yeah, they spend entirely too much time trying to focus on certain aspects of the WWE championship chase coming up next month on pay-per-view, or the Divas title. Thank goodness they don't spend too much time on that, because let's face it, even though there's a bit of a resurgence, the Divas division is still not that great.
It's not that great, but at least the time it's being given is actually decent. That's probably one of the more well-managed title divisions in the company right now.
And at least the girls that are contending for the belt can kind of work.
And they're entertaining.
As long as they don't put the Bellas in the title race, I'll be happy.
No, they got them too busy doing storylines for Total Divas.
There you go. Which is currently being watched by Lindsay on E!
Yes.
And speaking about watching, let's taking a look at the clock. It's time we take our first break of the evening. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday night. Press Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right on the other side of this break. Let's talk a little Damian Sandow coming up. We'll be right back.
Tell me, do you think it'd be all right? Just crash here tonight. You can see I'm in no shape for driving. Anyway, I've got no place to go. Yet you know it might not be that bad. You were the best I'd ever had. If I hadn't blown the whole thing years ago, it may not be love. Tomorrow we could drive around this town and let the cops chase us around. Past is on us, something might be.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments...
Oh, no! Oh, my God!
and the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like it's insane or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? Play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It's just getting weirder and weirder. Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing up at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe.
Oh, Gundam style. Love you, Gundam.
Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sumi in disguise? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
No, I'm not going to start talking now. I like the song too much. All right, that's enough. Hey, everybody, welcome back. WPR, 7 Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, Rock, were you scrambling for music because of the fact that we're missing somebody tonight?
yes and no, but I found a theme. This whole show has a theme behind it, so.
Okay, so what was the opening song tonight?
Living on the Edge.
Living on the Edge. And now the next one you played was Are You Gonna Go My Way. What song did you play when we went to break?
Hey, Jealousy.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not picking up on your theme.
Okay. We'll see what if you can if, as we continue.
As we continue. Yeah, it's too bad that Omega's internet crapped out and he wasn't here. Not saying anything bad against it. I love it when Lindsay joins us, but...
Oh, sure.
No, I do. No, seriously, no, it's just rocking. I spent like an hour looking for specific music just for Omega. Because of something that happened this past week. So, I was kind of sort of looking forward to his reaction to the music. Anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, we teased it before the break, talking about tag teams breaking up and all that other stuff. Let's take a look at Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes. So how do you guys feel that they're handling this particular breakup?
Spectacularly.
This is one of those that's not a fail.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. What did you think about the whole thing where Cody threw his briefcase into the river, or the Gulf of Mexico?
That was genius. I'm still waiting for them to see how they're going to address that, whether Damien still gets his shot or not.
Well, it's not like we haven't seen them do something similar before, throwing stuff into water.
But it's never invalidated something.
Right. It's the whole deal is that they make the deal out of the fact that...
he's got the briefcase. He can cash in the briefcase anytime. What's to stop them from giving him a substitute briefcase?
What's to stop them from not doing it? I mean, it's the whole deal is the briefcase. So it's like, if he doesn't have it anymore, does that mean he doesn't get the shot anymore? It would be an interesting twist to the whole Money in the Bank deal, where it's like, well, last year we had somebody lose the first one, mm-hmm. where they didn't win the title. Well, what if this year they lose their contract, and their contract is invalid, and therefore they can't cash in? What does that do for it?
Yeah, just for shits and giggles, let's take a look at the real world, okay? You got a contract with the company. You're going to do a certain kind of work, and they've already paid you for it, and yada, yada, yada. The contract somehow gets thrown into the bottom of a river. Is that contract invalid?
If the contract's destroyed, yeah.
No, it's not. It's a legal binding agreement. The destruction of the contract through means other than mutually agreed upon has no merit. It has no effect on the deal because in the real world, there are two copies of the contract, one that you hold and one that the person that you are contracted with holds. Right?
I would assume so.
So would something like that come into play?
Not in WWE land, because that's the logic.
Well, there you go. Now, who's going to be dealing with this? Will it be Vicky?
It is her show, technically. SmackDown is her show, and that is the SmackDown contract.
Technically. So you would assume that she'd be the one charged with dealing with Damian Sandow and the contract issue being in the bottom of the water, right?
Right, but the point is, should they invalidate the contract? Because all it is a briefcase and the contract. The contract only becomes valid when it's, you know, cashed in. Beyond that, it's just a briefcase.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that you could do something interesting with in the case of, well, Vicky says, you know, the briefcase and the contract are gone. It's, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. You don't get your shot. And Damien says, well, screw that. And he goes higher. And he goes to say Vince. Or he goes to Hunter.
This all leads to a match between Cody and Damien. And the winner winds up with a new briefcase.
Potentially.
Possibly.
I don't know if I would have them fight over the briefcase. I'm more like them fighting over the fact that they're former friends and they're doing all these things to each other, and it's just a good hate-filled feud where they're not necessarily fighting over anything other than Damian screwed Cody, and now Cody is trying to get his revenge.
Well, when you stop... go ahead. Continue.
By, in effect, screwing Damian over. I mean, you can put the briefcase in there, and that's fine, but unless you're going to give the briefcase back, or give the briefcase to Cody in the end, it doesn't really at least do anything for me to have Damian win it back.
Okay.
Because then it sort of invalidates everything Cody's done.
Is all this does for me is just set up a really glorious feud between the two of them until, you know, whenever the feud is over with and the winner of the feud winds up being the Money in the Bank contract holder.
But then what's to say that, you know, in the future, if this happens again, where somebody steals somebody else's contract, they throw it, or they get rid of it, or they destroy it, or whatever, and then you do this type of thing, because that sets the precedent for it, where it's basically, well, if you steal the briefcase and you get rid of it, then that means you get a match for the briefcase, essentially, so you sort of invalidate the process of Money in the Bank by not having to compete in the ladder match. All you have to do is steal the briefcase holder's briefcase, and then you can potentially get a match. I think it sets a better precedent that if you steal the briefcase, you invalidate it, and nobody gets the shot. So, I kind of like the idea of, you know, maybe Vicky says, well, okay, we'll get you a new briefcase kind of thing, and Cody refuses, and he goes to Hunter, or Hunter steps in and says, now, wait a minute. You know, it's about the briefcase. It's not fair to just give him a new briefcase. And then you can do the situation where they can earn it, or have Hunter say, you know, per WWE law, whatever, this invalidates the briefcase. Therefore, Damian does not get the shot, and then you can have Vince step in, and this helps to also further that feud as far as those two butting heads a little bit more. Because remember, Vicky is Vince's appointed GM.
Yeah.
So you could sort of have Hunter sort of undermine her a little bit as Vince is kind of undermining
Hunter.
Brad Maddox. Or Hunter, excuse me, is undermining Brad Maddox.
Yeah. So it could potentially work that way. Possibly. Do you care who wins this feud at the end of the day, just so long as it's a good one?
Not really, no. I mean, like, as long as it's entertaining, as long as it's a strong, good feud, I don't really care who wins.
Shut up and make me happy.
Well, it's one of those things that I like Cody and Damian so much, that seeing them in a feud together and they both work so nicely together, it's one of those things where it's, I'm just enjoying what they're doing, and as long as they keep it up, I'm not going to complain.
Well, was Damian in the right when he actually won the briefcase? Does Cody have a valid argument?
Well, you had Damian do the thinking man's approach. He hid behind the announce table for the majority of the match, and then when everybody else was done, he scampered up the ladder, he pushed Cody off the side, and he grabbed the briefcase. I mean, he took a thinking man's approach to it. How many times have we seen people screw people over in Money in the Bank? We see it every year. Just this year,
just
they came up
with a different way of doing it.
Yeah, this was essentially a different way for them to do it. And it was a creative way, because you have Damian use his intellect versus his physical prowess, because we know he's not necessarily physically strong.
Yeah.
But it further emphasizes his mental strength.
Without belittling anything that he can do and accomplish in the ring itself.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's been quite entertaining so far the way they've been handling it, that's for sure. And it's been enjoyable to, an enjoyable feud to witness, as it were. But I guess we'll, go ahead.
I was just going to say, these two are running together, whether they're a tag team or feuding, so.
Well, if you had to put money on it, who wins the feud, ultimately?
I want to see Cody win it.
Okay. No, just from a just because what? Go ahead.
Just because it feels like he's earned it and it's his turn and it's his time.
Okay. Well, I'm not really sure what they're doing with this or where they're going to go. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the ride as they get there. And I think that's what we should all do. Really.
Same here.
Yeah. But moving on to our next topic, you heard about Kurt Angle heading to rehab?
Every good celebrity needs to go to rehab at some point.
Especially when they've been caught 4 times in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kurt Angle is not going to rehab. His life got hacked, and just like his Twitter.
That was somebody else who got pulled over.
Yeah.
This is funny to me. Good one, Mace.
I just like how both times we're in the South.
Yeah, now, here's the thing, you know, like, he's been charged with DWI, driving while intoxicated. Here it is. The assumption is made that he was drunk by people posting on forums and message boards and, you know, all those places and stuff like that. Driving while intoxicated doesn't necessarily mean he was drunk. He could have been abusing other substances.
But they smelled alcohol on him.
Okay.
There's nothing to say he didn't take a mix of things. He could have been drinking, he could have been doing some kind of drugs, he could have been doing any number of things. I think the more important fact is, can they prove it? Because the problem with the last time was they were not necessarily able to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
This time they have the way to back it up, and seeing as he's going to rehab, I would say yes, they do.
Yeah, the odds are extremely good that they do because of that. Yeah, you know, like, Kurt, okay, I'm going to rehab. Why? Because I got caught and they can prove it.
Oh, look, Papelbon is pitching.
Who's pitching? What? What
Lindy's
the hell? Are
just
you
taking a shot at Rock? It's okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the Phillies got swept tonight, didn't they?
Not yet. It's not over.
Not yet.
Oh, they're still losing, though, right?
Yes.
They're about to get swept, in other words.
Yes.
Well, you know, as Cowboy James Storm says, Rock, sorry about your damn luck.
And the show suddenly goes off the air because Rock's going to go, fuck you all and leave.
No, I'm just not answering. Just continue.
Yeah, I was waiting. He was about to say something, but you could tell he's, no, I'm not going to fucking respond to that. Forget it. So anyway, yeah, let's keep making jokes about a serious situation here. Is this going to finally smarten Kurt Angle up?
Have the past few times smartened him up? No. Will he learn? No.
Here's an interesting twist. He's a former WWE employee. WWE has absolutely no qualms paying for any performer, past or present, to get into rehab. Is WWE
as long as they're not under contract with an opposing organization.
So the answer is no.
Yeah, before you ask the question, no, WWE would not be paying for this.
Yeah.
Neither would TNA, because TNA, well, you know, they're too busy spending money on, you know, other things. Like stuff that's not gonna pan out.
Well, shit that don't work.
Well, to be fair, in Angle's case, it's not like this proves he has a problem. Yes, he's gotten busted for DWI 2 times in 6 years. That's not necessarily a frequent occurrence.
No, but
if it was 6 times in 6 years or more than 6 in 6 years, then yeah, I would say he has a problem.
All the times that he posts shit on Twitter when he's drunk and then the next day swears that he was hacked has nothing to do with anything, because that's not proof. It's not proof, but come on.
How many times have you gotten drunk and posted on Twitter and then regretted it the next day?
Me? Never.
When was the last time you got drunk and posted on Facebook?
Me? Never.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure.
Still, the point is this. I don't think it necessarily proves a problem. I don't think it shows he has a problem.
Okay, now, there's no concrete anything at the moment that shows he has a problem other than what you might want to call, in legal terms, a circumstantial evidence. When he left WWE, he left because Vince wanted him to, reportedly, get some help for substance abuse problems, which he refused to do. And everything that's happened over the last several years in bits and pieces, you know, like you don't hear anything from him for a little while, and then all of a sudden, oh, my Twitter got hacked and somebody said some dumb shit, but it wasn't me, I swear to God. You know, it's like living on a high gravity planet and you don't have to watch the hammer fall to know what's going to.
Unless what Angle is doing he doesn't see as an issue. If it's not interfering with his daily life, if it's not stopping him from working, it may not be viewed as an issue in his eyes.
Okay, what you just said, Lindsay, is considered by some people to be aiding an addiction by making excuses. He doesn't see it as an issue. Well, just because he doesn't see it as an issue doesn't mean that it isn't. And the number one thing about people with problems is they refuse to admit that they have a problem. They don't see that they have a problem.
But also at the same time, it may not be a problem. I'm not trying to excuse Angle. He screwed up. That's plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not see it as a problem, and if he doesn't see it as a problem, then he's not going to want to get help. If TNA doesn't see it as a problem, they're not going to force him to get help.
Well, it's like Nate said, I don't think TNA is going to do anything whether they see it as a problem or not.
The only ways TNA will do something is if it reflects badly on them, or B, he screws up on camera where there's nothing they can do about it, basically where he pulls a Jeff Hardy.
I was about to say, he's like pulling a Jeff Hardy, but you beat me to it.
I mean, that's the only way TNA will be forced to do something.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you the only reason he's going to rehab is to avoid jail time.
Well, what kind of responsibility would or should TNA assume for something like this? I mean, sure, you can't expect them to be, you know, the parent or the babysitter. But shouldn't they assume, if not responsibility, then responsibility after the fact, at the very least?
TNA didn't make him take the drugs or drink the alcohol. They didn't force it down his throat.
No.
It didn't happen on company time. It didn't happen at a show. Nobody was hurt.
Well, let me just interrupt and, Rock, what is it you said to me about Impact on Thursday night with Kurt Angle?
Kurt looked funny walking around the ring. He didn't look like himself. And maybe that's why he was wearing the big glasses again. He just didn't seem out of place. Like, when he was talking to the camera, he was in the corner talking to the camera. It just, his mannerisms, he didn't look himself.
He seemed out.
Mm-hmm.
Out of place.
He did.
And he could have been under the influence. I don't know. This is my thought process of where it happened, where he got busted. It wasn't, at least to me, it wasn't apparent on TV. I'd have to go back and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I don't remember. Quite honestly, I don't remember.
Rock, for some reason, Rock seems to pick up on shit like this a lot.
I have a good eye.
Yes, you do. You have a good eye. But as far as going back to the argument of it did not happen, the arrest did not happen during a show, during a broadcast, on Impact Wrestling's time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he was arrested at the arena. It wasn't like he was arrested showing up to the arena or leaving it. He had already left the premises. He was on his way out to go wherever he was going when he got pulled over by the cops.
Well, so, you know, you can say the same thing about WWE. However, they still have that policy of theirs in place. Why does WWE have that policy in place if they don't need it?
I think they more did that as a goodwill gesture.
Why can't TNA do a goodwill gesture?
Because they can't afford it.
Well, okay.
I mean, think about it. WWE, when they send somebody to rehab, they send them to like a $10,000 a day or whatever facility. They send them to good rehab. TNA can't afford that kind of rehab. They really, truly can't.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you see things like, you know, allegedly Rock saying Thursday night he just didn't seem right. So maybe he was, you know, walking around half cut. You see things like Jeff Hardy in the main event at a pay-per-view, obviously out of his gourd on some kind of substance. And they go ahead with the match anyway, right? I mean, at some point in time, you've got to call the company for allowing this shit to happen. And sure, maybe it's only two times that we know of. It could be more that they've been successful at either covering up or, you know, the wrestler has been successful at hiding.
But at the same time, you've got James Storm walking around drinking with
beer
in his hand.
Which is, you know, the insane, hypocritical double standard that we see in, you know, such things as professional wrestling.
I mean, I won't argue Hardy was a bad call. Whoever let Hardy go to the ring the way that he was
is an idiot.
Should be smacked. Should be fired, personally, yeah, for putting him and, I believe, Sting in that much danger. Hardy was in no condition to go to the ring. They may have looked at Angle, and Angle may have been fine to them. I mean, he may have gone out there half cut already. But you know, it's like at the same time, it's not like there is a shortage of alcohol backstage. Clearly.
Yeah. You know that just basically begs the question: can you force somebody to get help if they don't want to help?
No, you can't. Scott Hall is the perfect example of that. If the person does not want to get help, if they don't want to be helped, they're not going to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many times has somebody tried to help Scott Hall? Just to bolster your point there, Lindsay, right?
Multiple times.
Yeah. So, yeah, bottom line is you've got to want the help to stop before you can stop. And hopefully, maybe... If Kurt Angle does have such a serious problem, as everybody, you know, as we are admittedly speculating, this is a bit of enough of an eye opener that he says, "Whoa, I got to stop doing this shit."
Honestly, I don't think it is. I don't think it will be. He's going to go to rehab. He'll do his bid in rehab. You know, they'll basically give him the thumbs up and say, "Yeah, you're good," and then Angle will go back on the road. And he'll pretty much be right back where he is. And I hate to be so pessimistic about it, but it's like that kind of environment is not conducive to a recovering either drug addict or alcoholic.
Yeah, well,
it's really not.
You know, like professional wrestling locker rooms are definitely not what they used to be in the 90s and the 80s. The rock star environment is pretty much just about, for all intents and purposes, completely gone. Replaced with people who are more concerned about physical fitness and overall well-being, really.
Right, but you still have those that are doing illegal drugs, that are doing prescription drugs, that are doing steroids, that are doing any number of things. You still have that presence there. It's not as hardcore as it used to be, but it's still there.
Yep, and Angle has been around long enough that he experienced probably, I guess you would term at the tail end of that era.
Right.
So, yeah. But another little odd bit of news. Randy Orton got attacked in South Africa. Mace, you're still with us, right?
Yeah. All you had to do was ask me a question. I would have answered it in the last 20 minutes. You forgot I was here.
I didn't know if you were still busy or not. Sorry. But just wanted to ask you, in all your years wrestling indie events, have you ever had a fan climb into the ring or attack a wrestler during the ring entrance or anything like that?
During my time as commentator, it happened once.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I was the first one there to try and put this fan back over the railing before The guys in the ring noticed what was happening and decided to come down and beat the shit out of them.
And how successful were you on that endeavor?
Very fucking lucky.
Okay, now I want the story. How were you lucky? What happened?
I was able to get the fan back over the railing by the time they climbed out of the ring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just one of those. I finally get the fan over the railing. The owner of the company and one of the other people from backstage have come out and taken the person out of the building. Just as the two guys in the ring decided to do a double clothesline out of the ring. In, right behind me. So it was one of those, I
you
sort of turned around.
Tagged.
I turned back around and I said, get back in the ring, you bastards. And went back to commentary.
A lot of fun. Yeah, you know, back in February, Canadian Opera Wrestling, we had a guy come into the ring and actually drop on top of Logan Cross, you know, like a pin attempt, only to wind up having his face break Scott Lee Cruz's hand. It was very rude of him to break Scott LeCure's hand with his cheek.
Scott and must have one of the weakest hands in wrestling, if that's the case.
Well, the guy could have had really, really dense bones. You never know, right? But anyway, Scott LeCure wound up with a free laptop out of the ordeal because we kicked the guy out and told him, if you come back again, we're going to call the cops and have you charged with assault. And he left his laptop behind him. And so Scott Lee Cruz said, oh, mine.
So he beat you to it?
Well, I didn't want the guy's laptop anyway. I mean, you know, crackhead and crap on it anyway. So I have never asked Scott Lee how the laptop was. He's never commented on it, so. But anyway, yeah, Randy Orton got nerded. In South Africa, some fan went into the ring and low blowed him while Orton was on the top rope doing his ring entrance pose. There's video of it on YouTube, I do believe.
The worst thing is that the guy actually went for a worked low blow.
A worked low blow.
If you actually watch it, it's a worked low blow.
Now, it is. Yeah, the guy who did it, he's been banned from all WWE events, according to news reports and such. He was, Rock, correct me on this if I'm wrong, he's an independent wrestler in South Africa, is he not?
Correct.
Yeah. And was he trying to, like, get himself noticed, or just being a smartass, or what?
He was getting himself noticed.
Well, there's the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. I don't know about you, but I would categorize this as the latter.
Basically, he gave the justification that he hated Randy Orton, and so he wanted to get himself noticed by WWE, and so he quit his job, he went to the show, and he attacked Orton in hopes of getting a WWE contract.
Anybody know what this guy's name was?
I'm looking it up. Give me a second.
Retard makes Becky pants for all we care.
It's not like Jeff or something, is it?
His name is Mrs. Bubba.
Mrs. Bubba.
They're going to be going to register for their prison China shortly.
There you go. So, kids, pay attention. Don't climb into a wrestling ring and attack a wrestler because, sure, wrestling is choreographed and all this other stuff. But these guys will hurt you for real if you do something stupid. Okay, you pronounce that name because I'm not even going to try.
Josie the Wrestling Machine.
No, the real name.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, what is that? Shepo Sakabi. Why not, right?
Why not?
Well, you know, there's your 15 minutes of fame, I guess. Mm-hmm. Good luck working anywhere else now. I think.
Probably, yeah.
I just seriously can't see any wrestling company paying any attention to him after doing what he did. I mean, I wouldn't book the guy even if he was really good.
He can go work for RCW in Canada. He'll take anybody.
Well, RCW, you know, they're hurting for people, so.
So there you go. You're welcome, Tim.
Yeah, don't be surprised to see Josie the Wrestling Machine debut in Edmonton next month. I can just hear Squiggy on the phone right now. Yeah, this is Steven Tiles with Real Canadian Wrestling. You want a job? We're not going to pay it because we like screwing people over, but, you know, come and wrestle for us. Yeah, I'm taking shots at Steven Styles.
I threw the pitch out there, and you knocked it out of the ballpark.
I'll tell you, yeah, unlike your Phillies. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you set me up. I had to go. So, anyway, what was Mirror Mirror on the Wall? Who's the craziest of them all?
Yeah. That would be our roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, thank goodness for the ability to record shit, because at least Omega's with us in one aspect. And King Kittens is a happy camper now, I'm sure. So, yeah. Fancy Dancy roundtable. Who's played the best crazy character in wrestling history? Now, we're not talking about, like, being nuts in the ring, but, you know, just as a character itself. You know, kind of sort of like what AJ's doing outside the ring, stuff like that. Lindsay.
In history?
Yeah!
I'm trying to remember.
Okay, I'll throw some names at you. George the Animal Steele. In a perverse way,
never
the ultimate
him.
Warrior.
Never
okay.
Start from 2000 and move forward.
Gold Dust.
I don't know if I would classify Gold Dust as crazy. I would classify Gold Dust as eccentric.
Bizarre.
Bizarre is a good word. I like Mickey. I always thought Mickey was good. I've always liked AJ. I'm going to shock everybody and go with Kane.
Oh, my goodness. Kane, crazy? What are you, nuts?
No, he's totally sane. You know, guy walks around in big red jammies and a mask and light things on fire. Yeah, that's totally sane.
And electrocutes people's testicles.
That, too. And Tombstone's priests.
There you go. So, Mace, what say you? Best crazy character in history in WWE?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man, you would consider him crazy?
Have you seen his promos?
Oh, yeah.
Macho. Dude is pretty much fucking out there on a spaceship somewhere.
He wasn't as out there on a spaceship as Ultimate Warrior.
No, but then again, Warrior was unintentionally crazy. Whereas Savage was full-blown nuts.
Yeah, this is true. You know, I'm having a hard time disagreeing with you on this one. God, yeah.
Because you think about it, Savage, his character was always, it was the violent psychopath, mm-hmm. is essentially, right? Whereas the Warrior was just, he believed in his shit. To him, those crazy promos that he would cut talking about the moons of whatever, you know, and stuff like that, that was him being serious.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally crazy, whereas Savage portrayed the very psychological, crazy, wild man. And, yeah, that's why I go with that.
Yeah, I'm happy, man. But where would you rank AJ?
I'd probably put her in fourth. Like, my top five would be Savage, Pillman, AJ, New Jack.
New Jack is fucking psycho, man.
Where do you throw Foley? Do you throw Foley in that list?
Foley would probably be somewhere in the latter half, probably about a seven. Like, he was crazy, But his character sort of softened over the time, so yeah. I just wouldn't rank him in the top five.
No, I wouldn't classify it fully as like insane crazy, just like scary crazy, crazy scary, which is different than being nuts, as it were, I think.
Yeah, see, I'd say like Foley's more crazy for the type of things that he does, as opposed to the character itself being crazy. Yeah. When he originally was Mankind, the original incarnation, it was supposed to be an escaped lunatic, and that came across very well. But as the Mankind character softened over time, then it became more about what he did than what the character was. So I'd probably put him like as a sort of like the same area I put Sabu. Dude's crazy, but that's only because Sabu likes to put himself through tables as opposed to actually having a whole crazy character.
Right.
Yeah, I'm apparently having some kind of Skype issues. I'm going to hang up and then rejoin the call, see if that clears everything up, guys. Continue amongst yourselves for a few seconds here.
So, yeah, I think that's a good top five, to be honest with you. I can't really disagree, especially with Savage. There is no argument that can really be made at that point.
Yeah. Savage, it just you wouldn't think it looking back on the character until you really got into the promos. And then you see the way he acts in the ring and stuff like that. When you put it all together, you realize how crazy his gimmick actually was. But mind you, one name that I threw out there that I'm surprised, well, it doesn't really surprise me, didn't get anything from Lindsay, but in terms of Tim and yourself, Rock, Brian Pillman.
That's an interesting
one. Dude called the loose fucking cannon for a reason.
No, Brian Pillman was with WWF, WWE, and it's only because the lack of any kind of real length of time, and of course, for a good portion, he was injured and on crutches.
I mean, it's just when they talk about WWF stars of the past, in particular the Attitude Era, Pillman isn't necessarily highlighted. You know, when you think of the Attitude Era, you think of your Stone Colds and your Rocks, and that's who they want you to think of. They don't necessarily want you to think of Pillman. So I think and that's really the company's own fault, not necessarily his own fault. Where I don't think they want him necessarily remembered like he should be.
Yeah, it would be nice to see Brian Pillman mentioned, just a little bit more often. I think, of course, I'm somebody who used to watch Brian Pillman and Stampede Wrestling before he made, the big time. The guy was, he was an incredible worker. It's just unfortunate, the set of circumstances that wound up happening. So, with him, where people didn't really get a chance to see him so good in WWE. But we seem to be having streaming issues. Rock, do we just let everybody know we're going to go for a break and going to reboot? There's a good chance, meaning 100%, that you will lose the stream for just a moment, kids. We're just going to get everything rebooted here and come right back. Listen, WTR Sunday Night, don't go anywhere. We are coming back. We'll be back after this.
Call you up in the middle of the night. Like a five-powered power light. You were there like a blowtorch burning. I was a key that could use a little turning. So tired that I couldn't even sleep. So many secrets I...
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to?
Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to PR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hopefully, that is. There might be one or two little minor audio dropouts, but for the most part, we should be okay, I think. And I think maybe we should take a look at the WWE half year in review, which is, that's kind of overdue.
It is overdue, and that's why we're doing it now, because since we were going to do it last week, and, you know. There was no show.
Yeah, there you go. So, Lindsay Mace, what's your biggest surprise so far of 2013?
Lindsay, you want to go first?
No, you go first because I can't think of anything.
God. Audio issue. Biggest surprise so far, at least for me, is the quality of the call-ups from developmental this year. We've had some very quality call-ups in terms of the Shields and now the Wyatts showing up with their gimmicks sort of intact. Not so much with the Shield, because I believe that was an original creation for when they moved up to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Wyatts were doing the exact same thing in NXT as they're doing now, just creepier. But yeah, it's just that the quality of the guys coming out of developmental now are extremely well done. Like, you couldn't tell, except for the fact that, you know, most of us are the hardcore, knowledge people that we are for wrestling, that Bray Wyatt was, McGillicuddy. So, yeah. But basically seeing the younger guys actually appearing in quality suddenly, which is really scary.
Yeah, I would have a very hard time debating you on that. tell you the truth, the most pleasant surprise of the year have been the call-ups. And it's injected, I think, quite a bit of life and a whole bunch of freshness into the product.
I would agree.
So, we're all in agreement on that one, and I don't think we can debate anything on that. So let's move on to the match of the year for you, Lindsay.
Hold on, I don't get an opinion.
I don't get an opinion.
Really?
What?
Really? I don't get an opinion. Wow. Okay, Tim.
Okay, fine. What's your opinion?
The biggest surprise of the year: Fandangoing becoming a thing for like 3 weeks. That's the biggest surprise of the year for me.
That outdoes the freshness of the call-ups for you?
Was Fandangoing a surprise?
Wow. It was like, what the hell? It was, I think that would be a, like, what the hell are you fans smoking moment.
But it was a surprise, so that's my biggest surprise of the year.
Okay. Lindsay, what's yours?
It's not really a surprise, but I'm going to go with the improvement of the women's division. And the fact that you're now getting the... Basically, it's... They finally put the belt on AJ Lee, which is a good call. They're continuing to keep her strong. Her character is getting better and better every day, and she's incredibly enjoyable to watch on the show. And they're putting her up against good opposites that help highlight both women. And you've got... I mean, granted, the matches and she and Caitlin have put together haven't been five-star classics, but they've been good matches, which is something you can't always say about the women's matches in the past.
Okay, we'll go with that one then. Now let's move on to the match of the year. Rock, go ahead, you first.
The Shield versus Hell No and The Undertaker.
You going to back that up or just say that?
I'm just saying that. That's the match.
Just saying. Okay, well, Lindsay, what's yours?
Rock stole mine. So I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose versus The Undertaker.
Okay, well, you can still pick the same one. It's all right. It's not like that's off the board because he picked it.
Yeah, but we're trying not to go with the same brain thing, so...
Good luck with that.
Even though it happens it's all the time and it's very unintentional.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it, really kind of both of them, basically that week, because it kind of made up for the WrestleMania build a little bit for me, so.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. What say you, Mace?
Match of the year, personally, I don't really think we've seen the match of the year yet. But sort of what we've seen so far. So like the now I can't remember who's in it. The TNA hardcore women's match.
We're going WWE. We're doing WWE.
Oh wait, yeah, WWE. Well, fuck you. WWE straight. Okay, WWE. I don't have one because the matches just seem together. You know, the people that have had very good matches. I just don't think there is a match of the year candidate yet.
So has any one particular match in the last 7 months stood out to you?
Not really.
Interesting. I'm kind of sort of in the same boat as Mace, but if I had to pick something, I'd pick what Rock picked.
Because you don't know anything else.
Because that's the way I roll.
That is the way you roll. All right, moving on.
That's what I do.
So you eat KFC and drink Kool-Aid?
I don't drink Kool-Aid, and I haven't had KFC in about 2 months.
Okay. Anyway.
The question is does he get up in people's Kool-Aid?
Yeah, what is it with that phrase, anyway?
That was from Total Divas last week. It's an awesome phrase.
Get all up in everybody's Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. It's a new phrase.
Right.
All right, next one, Tim.
That would be your favorite moment. So far, Mace.
Favorite moment? I'd have to say the Wyatt's debut. Because here it is, I had seen those guys in NXT, and they were creepy as fuck already on the small scale that NXT is. But to see what they did with the highlight packages and the reworked entrance for Raw, absolutely brilliant.
I absolutely loved the Wyatt debut. But my favorite moment was the Shield.
The Shield doing what?
The Shield coming in and just like, you know, fucking everybody shit up all the time.
Well, technically the Shield debuted in last year, 2012.
Well, yeah, technically their debut was 2012, but I'm just talking about like, you know, they're coming out all the time and just messing everybody up, and it doesn't matter who the person is. They're not picking favorites. They're not picking strictly good guys or strictly bad guys. You know, before they won their titles, you know, they're just coming out and dispensing their own brand of justice all the time.
Okay.
That I enjoyed.
Okay.
The most. So far.
Okay.
Yeah, Lindsay?
I have two.
Uh-oh. Can you pick two judges? Yes.
I agree with Mace because of the Wyatt family debut. That was absolutely epic. It was amazing. You had people... They were over before they ever even showed up. Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually going to go with Dolph Ziggler cashing in Money in the Bank and winning the World Heavyweight title. Because we waited for it for so long. And they sat on it, and they sat on it, and they sat on it when they finally did it. They waited for that perfect moment for that to happen. And it was just a thing of beauty when they finally did it. So, gotta go with Ziggler winning the title.
All right, next choice, Rock.
Brock Smash Office.
That was your favorite?
Yeah.
Really?
Brock Lesnar smashing up Triple H's office? That was awesome.
The walk-in closet.
Mm-hmm. Brock Smash Office. My favorite moment so far. You could have said, you know, Punk attacking Taker with the urn, but I'm going with Brock Smash Office.
Okay, well, let's stick with you, Rock, on Breakout Superstar for the first half of the year.
AJ Lee. They have developed her nicely over the last 6 months, 7 months at this point. She's been very strong, and that's why I'm picking her, because we've seen more crazy come out of her. We've seen two different sides, the lovey-dovey, and now we're back to seeing the crazy. It's been very well done.
Okay. Lindsay?
Breakout?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Shield. They've continued to keep, you know, up until the point where they won the belts, they've continued to keep them strong, and even when they won the belts, they still continued that strength, even though they're not as visible as they once were. They've started to cool them down a little bit.
But I mean, just
that moment of where basically the Shield puts the Undertaker through a table, and they're standing over the Undertaker with their fists over him, just kind of like burning your brain, where it's like, yeah, you're never going to do any better than that. Ever.
Okay, just out of curiosity, do you figure that the Shield and Undertaker are over and done with, or is there going to be something else showing up there at some point in time?
They can always go back to it. It's something of, you know, it's like they basically set it up, and they set it up for SummerSlam, and then things didn't work out because of his physical health. But they can always go back to it. It's something that they could do if the Shield's still around at SummerSlam. They can do it at SummerSlam. They could do it at Rumble if they're still around then. And they're not giving any indication that they're going to break the Shield up anytime soon. So they can always do it if they have to, and if Taker's willing.
Okay. What about you, Mace?
Breakout star, Daniel Bryan. Like, I know he's already had popularity for years, but it's now, especially at this point in time, that they're finally taking advantage of it, where he wasn't just the fuck-up looking for redemption after choking people out with a tie. he's finally capitalizing on his popularity, and the company is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, it doesn't really matter where in the show he is, or even if he's not at the show, people are still chanting yes like a motherfucker.
This is true, and I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing with you on this one, Daniel Bryan. That's my choice. Call it a resurgence in his character and character direction, if you want. But you know, the focus being put back on him, even though there was always the tiniest little bit of a focus. It's, you know, like he's now just more into the spotlight, and we're all expecting him to win the WWE title, I think, at SummerSlam. Are we all in agreement that's probably what's going to happen?
Maybe.
I'm thinking that'll happen. And that's like the pinnacle and the penultimate. What about the underachiever for the first half? Mace.
I'm going to go with, and I know probably going to get told, no, you can't pick that one, but Paige from NXT. The girl has the right look, she can wrestle, she can cut a promo. Yes, she did get the NXT Women's Championship recently, but she deserves to be on the main roster. The fact that she hasn't been called up yet is a goddamn travesty to women's wrestling. Especially when you have... So, the fucking JoJo chick on Total Divas is 19.
I know, I mean,
and she'll end up
point,
on the fucking main roster. You know, that's the thing, you know, there are pages in NXT and just waiting to turn 21. But still, it's one of those things of, the girl is ready now. And when you have a T-show where you've got something that you're getting roster when the show's up, at least for a little bit, it's a fucking, it's true. It's WWE logic.
I know.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we'll accept your pick. Lindsay, what about you? Who's your underachiever?
Brad Maddox.
Really?
I'm sorry. They keep putting him in these roles, and they keep doing their best to try and shove him down our throats, and it's just not working for me. I really can't stand him, and not even in the yes, you're not supposed to like him kind of way. I just really, he irritates me. Like, his very presence, I want to punch him in his face kind of thing.
And so he has Vicky heat with you.
He has Vicky heat with me. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, I don't think he has it. And they keep trying to seem like he has it, but he doesn't. And so far, it's like, you know, he's been a referee, he's been Vicky's assistant, and now he's a general manager. And it's like, he doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry, he just really doesn't. And it's like, you should be, you know, three strikes and you're done, kind of thing.
Okay, fair enough. Rock.
Dolph Ziggler, not any fault of his own, it's more creative fault. He really, he won the title, but even before he got hurt, he really wasn't being pushed as a champion. Leading up to being, you know, getting the title, he was looked at as, I'm going to lose every week. He hasn't had that breakout run yet that we've all been expecting from him for a while now. He got the title, but he really didn't break out with it. And that's half due to injury, but half because they really didn't push him beforehand.
Okay. Well, I'm picking The Miz.
Really?
Kept being felt. Like I was being made to expect something. I mean, they hook him up with Ric Flair. Basically, he winds up inheriting the figure four, and you're waiting for the next level, and then all of a sudden he's on the back burner again. And I like The Miz as a wrestler and as a character. He's good in the ring, and he's good on the stick, and like he's got that elusive it that we keep talking about, that I'm still waiting to see in Alberto Del Rio, that you see in guys like Cena, you know, or even Chris Jericho or whatever. Now, I'm not putting them in the same class as those guys, for obvious reasons. But for me, that's the biggest disappointment, is that they've got so much potential with his character, and it's not being utilized, I think, the way it should. He's, to me, the underachievement of the first 6 months.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's, you know, my reasoning. Now, the next one is, which superstar is poised for a breakout second half of 2013? I am going to be the first one to choose, and I'm choosing Dolph Ziggler. Rocky said he's your underachiever for the first 6 months because he hasn't had that big sustained run and push yet. And I'm seeing that it's going to happen.
Okay.
In the second half, and I think, you know, it's already started as far as I'm concerned. So I'm picking Dolph Ziggler. Rock, who are you picking?
Damian Sandow, I get this feeling they have a lot of things planned for him. I think he's going to be one of those guys we're going to be talking about for a while. He's going to be a big star, the number two heel on SmackDown for a while.
Okay. Lindsay?
I'm going to go with Big E.
Ooh, that's a surprise out of left field.
If you were able to catch his stuff from NXT... basically, mm-hmm. where they were doing the promo practice before they pulled it. He's fantastic on the mic. He is hilarious. And I think if they let him talk and they let him be himself, he can get himself over. And he will be able to get himself over, but the key is they have to let him be himself, and I think so far they've kind of been letting that happen.
Okay. Fair enough. Mace.
Big E Langston.
Copycat.
Well, no, it's more along the lines. Big E Langston, he's a big guy, he's dominating. Surprisingly enough, he can actually cut a promo, but they, thank God they're not gonna let him. You know, they're letting him stay the pseudo silent guy who just goes out there and beats people up. Basically, they're doing what they should have done with Ryback with Big E. And I think it's going to start paying off in the second half of this year.
Okay. Interesting. Well, who's your first half MVP, Mace?
AJ Lee.
Woo.
Yeah, the crazy little ball of whatever the hell she's made out of has just been entertaining as hell. And because of her, it's helped... Well, because of her, they've helped revitalize the Divas division, which has sorely been needed. And for some reason, now that... And I don't know whether we're going to... No, we're not going to cover this later. So I'll say it now. We've only just begun to see the tip of the iceberg of what AJ Quinn can do. Because let's face it, she is fucking Harley Quinn in real life. And now that she has Layla with her, I'm thinking the god awesome team ups of Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn with those two. We're only beginning to see the tip of the crazy iceberg with those two.
I saw the
only if we get AJ to dress up like Harley again and we get Layla to dress up like Ivy at least once. I want that. Just once.
Oh fuck yes.
I got a kick out of the cartoon that I saw on Facebook. That was pretty good, where they had the two of them side by side comparing them to him.
Yeah, that's sort of what got me to click. I saw that picture and I'm like, "Fuck, it's true."
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
And then I just go back to thinking of the stories that I've read and I've seen in animation of Harley and Ivy together, and I'm like, "This is gonna be fun."
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, AJ Lee, and mainly because she's revitalized Divas division, like you said, Mace. So she'd be my MVP for the first half. What about you, Lindsay?
I'm going with a Shield.
No way.
I'm some rot mystery. They got me to emotionally invest in somebody other than The Undertaker and Kane. I mean, the Shield have just been, and they're so different from anything else in the company. Mm-hmm. They're just, it's like they just scream, hey, watch us, because we're amazing. And it's, again, it's the quality, it's the gimmick, it's everything. It's just, yeah, they're my MVP.
Okay, Rock. Oh, so finish.
Call me Dean.
Okay, Dean. Go ahead, Rock.
Bad joke. Anyway.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman, most consistent person on television every single week. He opens his mouth, you listen. He is the MVP.
Huh. Paul Heyman, there you go. And that's our pick in the WWE half year in review. Up now, we do Rock's little buy yourself thingamajig.
Question and answer time!
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or some.
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell the name Battleground as a new WWE October pay-per-view instead of Over the Limit, Mace.
It's really one of those I'm indifferent. I don't want to buy it, but I don't want to sell it either.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it being a pay-per-view. That's fine. You know, it fits in with their current way of thinking. Over the Limit was the same too. So, I'll buy it, but it should have been somewhere else, not over the top of Over the Limit.
Lindsay.
Buy it. I mean, it's on, at the end of the day, it's a pay-per-view name. Does it really matter?
True. Tim.
I'm in the same boat as Mace. Meh, take it or leave it, whatever. I mean, it's a throwaway anyway.
Okay. Buy or sell the excuse that humidity was the reason there was a nip slip on Raw 2 weeks ago, Tim.
Sell. I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay. Lindsay.
Sell. Don't buy that at all. I'm sorry. No.
It was sweat that loosened the glue.
It was something. She was messing with her dress beforehand. And had she not scooted away from the red-headed chick, it never would have happened. So, yeah. Sell.
There's been a few nip slips on WWE in the last couple of months. I think it's a conspiracy.
Anyway, Mace, go.
Sell, she's full of shit.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Buy or sell that the Wyatt's sheep mask will be hot sellers, Lindsay.
I'm going to buy it with the option to return it.
Why return
it? It's really hard to gauge how over the Wyatts actually are. Because I know how over they are with the IWC, but it's hard to tell how much they've grasped the actual live crowds. And don't get me wrong, I would love to see, like, the front row full of sheet masks. That would be amazing. But I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll have to see, because there's something... I don't know, but there's something about parents, you know, buying a sheep mask for little Jimmy that's just not going to happen.
Mace.
I'm going to buy it because I've always said that the WWE crowds are sheep and now they're just going to prove me right.
Tim.
Well, I'm going to have to buy it because already I'm pretty positive somebody somewhere out on the planet is saying, shut up and take my money.
Well, okay then.
Yeah. So, we're done with that, aren't we? Shouldn't we get to a great debate?
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the Bobby, the Stone Cold Sexton.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Bruno Sammartino versus JBL. Lindsay.
In this one, as far as I'm comparing legacies, because that's really all I got to go off of, I got to go with Bruno. He still holds the longest title reign in the history of the company, something that will never, ever be topped. So, yeah, got to go with Bruno on this one.
Mace.
Bruno, because Bruno.
Tim.
Bruno, because it's Bruno. Because Bruno.
Alright, up next, Edge versus Rob Van Dam. Lindsay.
Edge.
Why?
Honestly, I don't remember any of Darby D's title reigns. I don't even remember when he won them. The only one I remember actually is the one where he got busted for pot and he had to drop it pretty much right after the fact. So, I have to go with Edge. I mean, he really built his career off of winning the World Heavyweight title and the WWE title. And he did a fantastic job with it. So, yeah, I gotta go with Edge.
Mace.
Sorry, Omega. I'm going with Edge. Because, let's face it, the only thing that really happened with an RVD title reign was he decided to drop it to become the ECW champion. And outside of one promo, yeah, sorry, man. Edge was made the World Heavyweight title his thing. You know, he became the ultimate opportunist because of that title. Sure, he gave us the most horrifying thing on the planet, a live sex celebration with Lita.
No!
What he said. But still, he was extremely entertaining as WWE champion, whereas RVD, yeah, sort of traded in for a downgrade. Sorry, Omega.
Tim?
Yeah, it's Edge. He actually took the WWE Championship to a different level, just like CM Punk did. He made it a bigger deal than RVD made it.
Okay. So Bruno and Edge move on, so they'll face off against each other at some point. But up next week is CM Punk versus Triple H.
Ouch!
And Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan.
Oh, goddamn.
Complete with extremely bad bumping by Michaels?
Yes.
Over the top?
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
But that's next week on the show.
Shawn Michaels proving a point in pay-per-view.
So, Tim?
Well, I guess it's time to get through quick hits before your net craps out completely.
My net is actually fine at the moment, so I don't know what the problem is. So, anyway, here we go.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
We're gonna start with Lindsay. Would you rather dress only in styles popular 20 years ago, or dress the way you did when you were 10 years old?
You broke up. What was the question again?
Would you rather dress only in styles popular 20 years ago, or dress the way you did when you were 10 years old?
See, 20 years. I would go with 20 years ago. 80s had some, or is it in 80s, 90s, around then, they had some kind of awesome fashions. I could totally rock the grunge look.
Okay. Mace, if you could ask Dixie a question, what would you ask her?
When the fuck are you going to bring TNA to Australia officially?
Tim.
Or if you want to go another route, did the money that was going to be used to bring all your guys out to Australia really go into Hulk Hogan's paycheck?
Tim, if you could challenge someone to a gentleman's duel, who would you challenge and why?
Okay, did not hear anything you said. Do it again.
If you could challenge someone to a gentleman's duel, who would you challenge and why?
A gentleman's duel?
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman's duel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, define gentleman's duel.
It's a gentleman's duel. You should know what a gentleman's duel is.
I'm not a gentleman. Define a gentleman's duel. What exactly are you referring
Pistols
to?
Pistols at 10 paces.
Is that what you're referring to? I just wanted to make sure. Anybody who pisses me off, that's a really, really bad shot.
Okay. We'll go with that. Lindsay?
Hmm.
What's your favorite thing about sharks?
When they leap up in the air and they bite, you know, a seal off of a little thing that's being lowered and then fall back into the water.
Shark Week! Awesome.
Shark Week! That's an amazing commercial. Whoever came up with that? Genius.
Mace. Who would be the worst general manager, Mike Adamley or the Ultimate Warrior?
Say that again.
Who would be the worst GM, Adamley or Warrior?
Okay, one more time because you dropped right out then.
Oh, fuck this shit. Who would be the worst GM, Adamley or Warrior?
I'd have to still go with Adamley. Because even, like I said, at least, like, Warrior, crazy as fuck with, like, how he believes his shit. But at least that's entertaining, and he could probably learn how to pronounce things like Jeff Hardy and SummerSlam.
Okay. Tim, as our resident car expert, what are 5 things someone should look for when buying a car?
Price. Leaks. Overall condition of the engine. What else? How much rubber is on the tires?
Get a Carfax.
And whether or not it has Carfax. Potential funny that just, like, didn't exactly work for you. So basically that's it. We're sorry for the crappy sounding second half of the show live. Everybody listening on the archives, you probably have a better experience. Thanks for downloading us. And you can find us on iTunes naturally. Geez, you know, we're done. Tomorrow night, post-Raw. It's the Raw Post Show. 3 hours working down into 45 minutes. Maybe. Maybe?
Might have family Maybe. Coming in, so we'll have to see.
Okay, commitment depending. Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik interviews people on KFABE Wrestling Radio. And to find out who's going to talk to, you just have to tune in. 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesday, we have a bit of a shuffle going on. Currently, Cheap Heat Radio is going on a bit of an indefinite hiatus. Stay tuned. Thursday night, Lindsay, what are you doing on the rack?
We're talking all about Impact. We've got discussions, we've got news, we've got notes, all that fun stuff. So tune in Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, the rack right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Well, that's just awesome, Possum. Mace, are you doing anything Friday?
No. I have other commitments.
Oh, right. Because sometimes Mace does stuff on Friday. Saturday night, there's a chance that, you know, Cards Against Humanity, Evil Apples to Apples, might pop up. Pay attention to the website and Facebook and all that other garbage to find out, and you'll know. Saturday afterwards, like midnight Eastern, as close as I can get to it, depending on how drunk everybody is and how late they have to work and shit like that. It's another episode of CB Radio. Lindsay, were you on CB last night?
No.
Okay. Mace, were you?
Nope.
Okay, so neither one of you guys knows what happens. Then I recommend you check them out in the archives. Just go to the TR Archives page and you can actually listen to it. Or just subscribe to iTunes and have all of our programs delivered to you like immediately and directly, which would be kind of cool. And, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I just want to throw out that, hey, those of you in the Alberta, Canada area want to come and check out the best-kept secret in independent professional wrestling. Tickets are now on sale for Canadian All Pro Wrestling Presents I'm Number One. Hey, we're pushing for a search for a new number one contender. We're talking one of my favorite matches of all time. Is a big old battle royal. There's going to be no DQs in this one. It's going to wind up being a whole bunch of fun. But after Kamikaze attacked Johnny Devine after losing to the Commonwealth champion on July 27th, he winds up suspended. The office has decided that Kamikaze's actions, while understandable, cannot be unpunished. So therefore, Kamikaze will be suspended for the month of August, expected to return in September. Get your tickets, call 587-894-7369, email tickets at CanadianAllPro.com. Check out the website, www.CanadianAllPro.com. And, Lindsay, the Rack has a website, doesn't it?
That's right, you can check out Rack. RadioShow.com for all your rack needs. We've got our interviews up there. We've got notes about the show, about the hosts, links to our Twitters, to my DeviantArt, to my Behance, to my website. All that good, happy stuff, so check it out.
Absolutely. What else can we plug? Mace, plug something. Or don't. That's okay, fun.
No.
All right. All right, everybody, we're done. Have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I walk for my machine. I walk for my machine.